Thank you, Mr. President. Is there a member of the trust here this evening? I'm sorry?
No.
I'm asking because back in 2016, when this item came up, the members of the trust were here. And I know that there were, I believe, Councilman McAllister was on the council then, Councilman Howe, Councilwoman Travis, I believe Councilman Ricks was also on the council back in 2016 when this item came up for discussion. And the question, one of the questions I have is this, is the city of Warwick, are we required to put into an annual required contribution for OPEB liabilities? Are we required to do that?
Only on the fire contract for new employees hired, either when the contract signed or this coming July 1st, but I think when the contract was signed. Not to say that it's not prudent, it's certainly not prudent to build up a liability without contributing to it. And we've seen many municipalities, whether it's Newport's made a big effort, Cranston, many of the urban areas, but not including Warwick or Providence, have not made a contribution. And it sticks out like a sore thumb on the financial statements.
So in doing a minimal contribution of 250K, is this more of a perception issue in funding? Is this going to have a positive effect on our credit rating or our standards of that type of thing?
I would certainly hope so, Councilman.
I'm sorry?
I would certainly hope so. Now, we haven't sold any bonds in our own name for some time, so there hasn't been a rating for a while, but certainly that this is one of the things they look at.
And if we would have put, I know someone mentioned Cranston's up to 8 million or somewhere there. If we were to contribute 250,000 this year, how would the future contributions towards this OPEB plan, how would they be determined? And what would the contributions be, say, over the next 10 years? And what would our total compensation be projected at over the next 10 years?
Well, I think it's a good question. It's the kind of thing that I'd say I would like to work with our actuary to come up with some recommendations for the administration and for the council.
All right, so I'm looking to get a grasp on this because at this point right now, I'm not stating whether I support it or I don't support it, but I need to have a handle on this because the last time that this came up on the council when I was here, I think it unanimously stopped. I think it unanimously failed. And the reasonings were that the presentations that were given at the time and the comments from the trust indicated that this would take forever and a day to build up any money. So I'm looking to see what has changed in this from 2016 and where the trust was then versus where we are today. I'm not disputing that it's certainly a good financial position to fund your liabilities and have money in the bank to pay the debt. And Lord knows we have humongous debts over here, which is something that I'll be looking to open up conversations about at another date. But I think it's important, Peter, for us to have an answer. If we put in 250 this year, what are we going to put in next year? And what is that money next year? What is that going to, what's the account going to be worth? You know, I, when I invest monies in my, my own personal accounts, you know, I want to know. So, you know, how much am I going to put in next year? And, you know, what is my, my return on this, et cetera, et cetera. So what would you project next year to be for a contribution?
Well, certainly you would think that you would continue the contribution at the current level. But as I said, you know, I've had communications with the trust who has boilerplate language and trust agreements to create a trust, although we could go a more costly or less efficient route, that I would be looking to have with the working with the administration coming up with a long range plan, but certainly it wouldn't, you wouldn't consider it to be less than the current year.
So is it fair to say
that I don't have an answer for you right now, but you will have an answer.
Okay. Is it fair to say that the trust now supports this initiative and they support funding this OPEB plan?
All right, I'll jump in, Councilman Lattiser. During the 2016 discussions, you're correct in stating that the OPEB trust was part of the conversation with regard to the healthcare bid. And the reason that was part of the healthcare bid conversation is because the trust offers, the interlocal trust offers OPEB trust management services on behalf of member communities. But there is no requirement that a member community be a part of the OPEB trust with the Rhode Island Interlocal Risk Management Trust. We could set up an OPEB plan outside of the Rhode Island Interlocal Trust altogether. So it's a plan they offer, or that's a service they offer. Members are not required to participate, but they do recommend, as Peter has indicated, it's good financial management to enter into an OPEB of some kind. But it does not have to be with the Brown Interlocal Trust.
So the answer to the question is it the answer yes, that the trust is recommending that we fund or begin funding an OPEB plan at $250,000?
No, they've made no recommendation in that with respect to a dollar participation.
But they did recommend doing something.
They recommend to all member communities, just as state recommends to cities and towns throughout Rhode Island, as part of good financial management practice, that OPEBs be established to address that liability, as Peter has indicated.
Councilman, I was aware that they were doing this for a number of other municipalities. So when we started thinking about this, I asked for them for their, what they would provide, and they provided me information on what they provided other municipalities. They haven't tried to sell us on this at all.
No, I'm not, I don't mean to insinuate that. Believe me, I'm not trying to imply or insinuate that the trust is trying to sell us anything. I'm asking, is it something that the trust, supports from a business perspective? Because when I look back at the notes that I have from 2016, you know, the opinion was a bit different. So the other question is, what happens if let's not next year or the year after, we have a really bad year. It's a real bad year. You know, economy is really in the tank, and we can't make a contribution in any respective year. As I think I remember, there is no penalty or no liability or responsibility on the city if for some financial reason we cannot make a contribution. This contribution going forward would be continually in perpetuity a voluntary effort, and the city would determine what amount is put in rather than some actuarial amount that we're required to do. Is that fair assumption?
Unlike defined benefit pension plans, where the actuary comes up with an annual required contribution, and where it is a there's a footnote to your financial statements if you don't make that contribution, there is no requirement once you establish the trust to make an annual contribution. It will show what the amount would be if you were funding it, but there's no black spot really for not making a contribution, as there is with failure to make pension contributions.
So, Peter, I know you don't have an analysis or a spreadsheet for, let's say, a 10-year period, but with you this evening anyways, but when could we expect to see some sort of a spreadsheet that will give us the numbers that we would expect to see starting with the 250 and going forward in 10 years? It's a number that I would like to see that analysis of how this is going to work for us over a 10-year period.
We have an annual report, but Lynn, tell me who does the, has it been GRS that's been doing the?
Yeah.
We would work, the actuary that does our pension plan has also been doing the statement on our OPEB. So it's the kind of thing, once we know that we've got a trust established, we start having fire convention contributions going on. Once we have appropriation, any city appropriations, that we would be working with our actuary to come up with that kind of a plan. As they have done before in other places and the state.
Do you think that
the time frame on that is, I can't tell you precisely, but certainly before the next budget cycle.
I understand. So do you think that it would be possible for this actuary to plug in a number of 250? I'm sure they do this every day. Would it be possible to have them plug in a starting number of 250 and give us a financial projection over 10 years so that we could have it for Thursday?
For the what? I didn't hear that last part of it.
Do you think it would be possible for the actuary that you're working with to do a forecast for us, starting with the contribution of 250 this year, with an assumption of contributions for the remaining 9 years, to give us a spreadsheet or a forecast of, okay, here we are today, 250,000, and here's where you could tentatively expect to be with these contributions per year at the end of 10 years. Would you think that's something they could run out that quickly for us?
The unit that works on OPEB trust is different than the unit that works on the pension plans. But I would certainly be thinking about working with them over the summer to come up with a more formal plan. But I would not be thinking about doing something for tomorrow, for example. I don't think that's fair. They don't have enough of the detailed data to do that. All I can tell you is that the footnote, the statement that we have in our financial statements really shows that we're not doing anything. And this is a pledge to start doing something.
Again, I understand that. I respect the business plan that's driving that. What I was hoping to see is the forecast of where we would be. And I'm basing these comments on what we were told and what we saw in 2016. That's why I'm asking these questions that I'm asking, and I guess we'll see what happens. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Howe.
Very quickly, Mr. President, I just want, for the clarification of the record, it was stated that I believe you were on the council in 2016 We began the council effort. My first budget hearing was 2017. Not meant to argue or just clear up the record. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Ricks.
I apologize for the misstatement. Thank you for the clarification.
Yeah, no need to apologize. Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. Yeah, if memory serves, and I did review these documents a couple of weeks ago, maybe a month ago from the last year, the last time that the actuaries presented. As had been mentioned, the currently unfunded OPEB liability is over $300 million. And I believe that in the actuaries' last presentation, it was growing by well over $30 million a year based on the current GASB accounting metrics. So, you know, $250,000. I like what the finance director said about this being a pledge, something to show that we're serious about funding OPEB. But $250,000, I suppose a concern of mine is that it doesn't exactly make a resounding statement to that effect. You know, I understand that we have a lot on the agenda tonight, so I'll try to keep this brief for, you know, especially the magnitude of this issue. Because what this all comes back to is that the city has made a commitment to all of these employees, many of whom are now already retired, many are active and had been hired with the understanding that they will have lifetime health care. And in some cases, especially, you know, we're talking about firefighters, police officers, and other people who are out there working in dangerous conditions. I personally feel that they should have lifetime health care. The problem is paying for it. And likewise, regardless of how people may feel about it in theory, the fact of the matter is that the city has made a commitment, and I personally feel, as a member of the council, that we should be doing everything that we need to be doing to make sure that the city is, of course, living up to its commitments. So when every year that the actuaries have presented to this city council, right from the, well, certainly from the year that I first served on the council, every single year I've heard the actuaries come in and to say that we are, quote, beyond the point of no return, unquote. And the scary part of that is that that's a technical term, meaning that if we were to have a maximum tax increase every single year and ignore inflation, just level fund absolutely everything, no salary increases to anyone, but instead put that 4% maximum tax increase, every single penny, into funding OPEB, then the city, even taking that extreme approach, wouldn't ultimately be able to live up to its commitments. So I respect opening up this account. I think that we are certainly taking some steps in the right direction here, where the new hires for the fire department are going to be making a certain contribution to OPEB under the new contract. I think that any solution to this is going to be very complicated and is going to take a lot of compromises to make it happen, because it can't all be done on the city side. But at the same time, what I'm getting to here tonight is that even though, say, a contribution of the equivalent of a maximum tax increase still wouldn't be catching us up to that, what the actuaries present of over $30 million a year in accruing liability, which is all currently unfunded and which is now well over the $300 million, I think that perhaps what would make a louder statement is a $1 million contribution, because a $250,000 contribution I think that there's a certain psychological impact to this as well, that a seven-figure number, $1 million, can speak to. So I would be interested in hearing any comments on that. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. And as you know, just for people that are watching, on Thursday, we will be making amendments and stuff like that. So we're just speaking about what's in front of us at this time. Councilman Sinapi.
Just glad to see that there's any contribution going forward into this, and it'll be a nice, not only a nice change of pace, but a sign to the rest of the state, and hopefully bring in some people who are otherwise either looking to leave or unsure of whether or not Warwick had its act together. And at least it's on the right path.
Thank you, Councilman. Any members of the public would like to speak on employee benefits? Are there any members of the public? Looks like we have a few hands raised.
Hi, folks. Barbara Walsh again. I have a question about the federal monies coming into the city. I think we're getting $3 or $4 million. Can that money or any portion of it be used for this unfunded liability?
You're referring to the American Rescue Plan? No.
None of it can be used?
No, it can only be used for revenue loss due to COVID and infrastructure improvements.
So,
restriction on any kind of, any of it being used for pension contributions.
Okay, well, in that case, let me just applaud the city for doing something, for doing anything. 250 isn't much. Councilman Ricks, you know, I think is right. It should be a million or more to make a small dent, a very tiny dent. But anything at this point is worthwhile, and I'm glad the city's taking it seriously at this point to do something. So that's just my comment on that. But my other question had to do with severance. Someone said that severance is based on being paid for 2 days per year that the employee works for the city before they retire. So that means if someone works for the city 30 years, they get 60 days worth of what? Cash pay?
Yes, that's the severance amount. It's whatever their daily rate of pay is at the time of retirement. I don't recall if there's a cap, but it's two. If somebody's worked for 30 years, indeed, it would be 60 days. But I don't recall if there's a cap there somewhere.
And what is that amount based in? Is that in contracts or is that policy?
That's a city policy.
So that's a city policy that could be looked at. And maybe that's a little on the generous side. And some of those dollars could be converted into the unfunded liability monies. Seems pretty generous.
Any other questions?
I guess you don't like that idea.
Well, no, I didn't know.
Everything is worth looking at.
Yeah,
everything is worth looking at. We take everything under advisement.
All right. One other question in terms of the unfunded liability. When you say medical for life, you truly mean for life, right? So you're paying a Blue Cross, a United type plan past age 65, correct?
They go to Medicare plan 65 when they reach 65 years old.
Okay, so they do not get full medical for life. They get a supplemental.
Well, they get medical, yeah, until 65, and then they get the plan 65.
Okay, well, that's actually a lot more palatable, because when you say medical for life, it sounds like a Blue Cross plan or a United type plan is past 65, but you're matching the state's plan, which is not really medical for life. It's only the cost of the supplemental plan.
Correct.
Right. Okay. That sounds better. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Are there any, looks like we have another hand raised for employee benefits.
Thank you, Mr. President. Can you, Bob Cushman, former Warwick City Councilman, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yeah, so I wanted to talk about, I think I'll dive into the OPEB issue, and then I want to dive into some of the other benefits. So question to the administration, what is the unfunded OPEB liabilities right now?
In the city's CAFR, the actuary is estimated at $383 million plus dollars.
Okay, so I was looking at a report right now online. It was a 2018 report, I guess, and they're using like a 2.98% discount rate, and they had it at $352 million. So I don't want to argue about that. But
that's the 2018 figure. The 2020 figure is 383.2.
Okay, so it's even worse. Okay, so I didn't see the copy of that report online, so I didn't have a copy. So you're at 382 million. So I'm just referring to the previous report, but maybe you can tell me then what's the actual contributions we made towards that? What's the annual determined contribution?
We're not on that schedule. What the report shows is what the accrued liability is and what the benefits paid out, and then it increases by, all I can say is you can look at all the numbers. I can't do them on the.
All right, well, I'm looking at the report from 2018 numbers. In the annual, they call it determined contribution, is $34,574,848. Now, I would assume in that report that you're referring to, the number's probably even higher, right?
I've got the 2018 year.
So 352.
Which has a $352 million liability.
Yes.
Mr. Cushman, do you know our financial statements are online?
Yeah, I'm looking at the report. This
115.
Yeah, so I just want to make sure that, you know, you from the administration's point of view can understand the numbers I'm talking about. They're coming directly from your documents. This is Dan Zinger and Markoff, February 11th, 2019 document.
We don't have that document in front of us, so if you could ask your questions and
all right, so the actual determined contribution according to this document is $34.5 million. The contributions that the city made was 11.4 million,
that's
a result as pay as you go, right?
Yes.
So basically, if you do the math, we made a 33% of the annual required contribution, correct?
That would be
so. If you take your $250,000 that you would like to put into an OPEB fund, that percentage would be 0.0001 of a percent. It's not even a percent. It's 0.007. Do you think that's a reasonable contribution?
Ever read the mustard seed parable, Mr. Cushman?
No.
It's a start.
All right, so let me ask you a question then. What's the unfunded liability in Cranston? We're comparing ourselves to Cranston.
Cranston never made the commitment that this city did to municipal workers. I can tell you that in Providence, it's over $1.1 billion.
So we don't have lifetime health care in Cranston?
No, you do for police and fire. You do for police and fire, but not for municipal workers.
All right. So this is, I think, the main point why I disagree, and I don't think you should be funding a $250,000. When the trust came in 5 years ago, they put a presentation on. And what they basically said, by putting basically any amount into a fund, what's going to happen is your unfunded liability on paper can drop by as much as a third. So is the administration looking to drop this 380 something million dollar unfunded liability by as much as a third by putting $250,000 into account?
Well, I mean, I think I've made the argument. It's a black spot on the city's financial statements.
What does that mean? When you say, sir, I mean, these are important questions that need to be answered. Is the financial statement, I put quote, cleans up financial statements, good financial management. is the unfunded liability is going to be dropped by hundreds of millions of dollars in the financial statement by putting 7/1000ths of the annual required contributions into a fund.
Well, it's amazing how rapidly some of these funds have grown over a period of years. Compound interest and time passing.
That's not my question, sir.
Is what we're talking about starting.
Is the unfunded liabilities of $382 million, according to the trust's testimony 5 years ago, will allow the city to discount hundreds of millions of dollars off of those liabilities? Is that going to occur by putting $250,000? Is that what cleans up the city's financial statement?
Well, there's many ways to look at the financial statement. All I've ever testified to and argued with, persuaded the mayor to proceed on this was that it is a start. That's all we've ever testified.
Mike, so Mr. Cushman, the director has answered that question.
I'm going to read a quote from the trust. So the trust said back in 2016, right, this is before, you will see that there will be an actuarial value of the assets once they are assets in a fund, plus the higher discount rate, which brings down, in this case, 30% of the unfunded liability. The council president at the time said, quote, that's awesome. We put in $250,000 into an account, and we don't show a $300 million in liabilities, but we show $200 million. And the person from the trust said, right, ideally you would want to put more. It's a stop, but even by putting a small amount, it affects your credit rating. And what the council president said, to quote, to give an impression that's not a reality. So basically what we're doing is we're cooking the books. We're gonna knock off hundreds of millions of dollars in unfunded liabilities by putting in a minuscule amount into a fund. And I think Mr. Schaefer probably could have answered that, but he doesn't wanna answer that. And I just another analogy I wanna put. Let's just say I had a newborn child born today, and I wanted to put $100,000 into a college fund. If I use that same 7/1000ths of a percentage, I would put $700 into an account. And based on what the city is talking about now, great, I've done a great job. I put $700 and I should feel great. But the reality of the situation is I'm not going to fund my kid's college fund. So this to me is smoke and mirrors. It shouldn't be done. If you really want to do it, let me ask the question. Why can't we put in $10 million? This year to the administration?
Well, we're trying to balance a budget. And when you balance a budget, there's all kinds of different decisions you have to make. Some of them you like to make, some of them you don't like to make. And it's a balance of the revenues and the expenses associated in the whole financial statement.
So I absolutely agree with you. The answer is we can't afford it. We would like to put $10 million in and maybe we could fund 66%, but we can't afford it. But the fact that the administration is coming in and saying put $250,000, it's creating a perception that's not a reality. And in my book, it's almost like a Ponzi scheme, and Bernie Madoff would be proud of this. Let me go on to my next topic. What is the copay on retiree health care in the city of Warwick for retirees?
I'm sorry, I don't have the actual copay right now.
It's zero, right?
You mean the co-share of the premium expense?
Yeah, there's no co-share. It's free lifetime healthcare, right?
I have to check our various agreements.
There's no copay for retirees. That's correct, Mr. Cushman.
Absolutely. Can anybody from the administration, has anybody looked at the trends in healthcare costs of the city over the past 5, 10, 15 years? Has anybody looked at that?
I mean, I can tell you over the much, much more recent period, they've been very modest. As you know, our health insurance contract is saving us 5% per insured contract this year compared to last year. And the increases the 2 to 3 years before that were pretty modest. But clearly they were much higher in earlier periods.
And I'm going to... 2004, when I started keeping track of these budget documents, and this is when Mayor Picozzi and I was on the school committee, I used to compare the school department's budget. 19% of the city budget was for retiree healthcare expenses. That was $18 million. Do you know what it is today? $48 million. It's up to 31% of the budget. Healthcare costs in the city are out of control. When I looked at just new money, this is new money in the city budget and where it has gone to. Since 2004, 47 cents of every new dollar has gone to retiree healthcare benefits. That's pensions and healthcare. Then I went back 10 years. I said, let me see, maybe things are getting better. They're getting worse. 48%. 5 years, 48%. What that means, and I want to ask a question to maybe the council president, who's the chairman of, he runs the commerce department for, as part of his job, and then even the administration. Let me ask you this question. If you were a small businessman and for every dollar in profit you brought in, of new revenue, 48 cents of that $1 had to go to pay for employees that used to work for you, that performed services in the past, could you stay in business? That's a question to Mr. Schaefer, Mayor Picozzi, who was a small businessman, and even a council president.
We understand your question, but we're here for the city budget. The city budget is different than a small business.
So can I ask you a question, Mr. President?
I would like to ask you to ask questions on the budget before us. We're on employee benefits on page 52.
So I'm asking questions on employee benefits, city administration. 48% of our new dollars are going towards healthcare. What is the administration going to do to cut that cost?
Mr. Cushman, what would you suggest we do?
I would like to sit down with you and I could give you some great suggestions. It's going to take more than a couple minutes and I don't want the council president to kick me off with the suggestions that I could say, but I would happily sit down with you and I have a boatload of suggestions for you.
I'll point out a couple of things. First of all, the Aberdeen administration negotiated single plan for employees hired after 2015. That was important. And we'll see that play into, and I want to make sure when he actually works in this, that they're incorporating those long-term savings into this, into their numbers here. But I mean, obviously another thing happens is what happens nationally. And we've heard about Medicare for all, the problem goes away. Or even lowering the age for Medicare retirement, the problem is reduced. So there's a lot of different things that can happen outside of our decisions we make there.
So I'm specifically looking at the line item 75-159, that's healthcare municipal, 161 healthcare police retirees. And I add all those up, and I come to the annual figure for retiree healthcare. Let's see, what do I got here? It's about 10.6 million. When I look at the school budget, it's a $500,000. Why is there such a big discrepancy between the school department's retiree healthcare and the city?
I don't know the answer to that. I'm not familiar with the details of their health benefits.
Can Mr. Kaiser's been part of the Aberdeen administration? Can he answer that question?
Mr. Christian, I believe the teacher retiree health care plan is limited to 5 years. Yes, that's my understanding.
At 65, the teachers are totally off the system and they don't get lifetime health care. So, you know, one of the previous callers called in and they were kind of basically praising the administration for doing the plan 65 plan. And, you know, all those plans add up and they're adding up to $10.6 million a year. And I want to commend Councilman Lattisaw, who's been trying to propose some legislation. And I would ask the mayor to sign on to the Evergreen lawsuit that the former mayor refused to sign on to.
Again, Mr. Cushman, thank you very much. But please stick to the budget, not on other pieces of legislation at the State House.
Yeah, well, this is regarding the health care. The mayor just asked me a question of maybe some of the things that I would.
I am asking you to please stick to what is before us this evening, not other legislation at other venues.
All right. So since I have to be so specific about things, what's the current copay that the municipal employees pay for their health care?
And I'm sorry, I don't have the information in front of me right now.
How about that? Mr. Cushman, it's 20%.
How about the fire department and the police department?
Police is about 18%, and I believe fire is 20% also.
Does those percentages carry over to the second and third year of the contracts, or are those percentages frozen from the first year forward to the second and third?
It's a fixed percentage for the duration of the contracts.
A fixed percentage. So if it's 20% in the first year and if healthcare goes up, it's not going to be 20% in year two and three, right?
No, they pay 20% of the premium. So if the premium goes up, their co-share goes up.
Okay. Now we talked about the OPEB for the new employees coming in. That 2%, there's no taxpayer funding going into that OPEB account, right?
Right.
What are the ordinances that are going to cover the how those OPEB, funds are administered? Does the city set up any ordinances, policies, or whatever, since the time that contract was signed to govern that OPEB plan?
It's clearly outlined in the contract.
Well, okay, and I'm glad you said that, because I was one of the persons that had extensive testimony during that contract, and you know what it says in the contract? It's governed by the pension ordinances, and I went through the pension ordinances one at a time, and they specifically talk about pensions. So unless this administration clears up that language before you hire these new firefighters, you're probably going to have another lawsuit on your hand, and you're probably going to have to revert those benefits back to something else. If there is none. And during that testimony, the people who actually developed the contract admitted that there needed to be new ordinances developed specifically for the OPEB plan. So I'm going to ask the council president and even the council finance chair, has there been any new legislation developed that's going to govern these OPEB plans?
We are talking about the employee benefits at this time, not yes. other legislation.
Mr. Chairman, this is in regards to, I'll say the line item. This is in regards to your line item 75-196. If you put $250,000 and develop a new OPEB fund, are there any ordinances, policies, or whatever that are going to outline how these funds are managed, how they're dispersed, and so on?
This is a proposed budget, and we are taking comments on that. And we will work with the administration to execute when the budget is passed.
Okay, let me ask one other thing. You're going to be leaving the WB Community Health, and you're going to be going into the trust, right, for healthcare, right?
Yes.
Where is the $4+ million shown in this budget of the funds that are going to be available to the city from the trust when you withdraw from the trust?
That money won't be available. I think it's not going to be available this fiscal year.
So is there anywhere in the financial statements that money will be showed as an asset?
I don't know if we've included it in the financial statements. I know it won't be available till the next fiscal year following this one.
So we got millions of dollars somewhere floating around and we have no idea, and it's not going to be reported anywhere financially. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, it would be sitting there.
Do you want me to repeat that question?
Mr. Cushman, it's about a 15-month period, I believe, with the collaborative, where the claims for the run-out period for all claims when the surplus is returned to the city.
So yes.
Show up and do a financial statement until following the fiscal 22 audit.
So do you have any idea? I know I listened to the testimony when the trust was there and when WB was there. Can you report any idea of how much funds should, approximately might be coming back to the city?
I don't have that information in front of me right now, no.
So I would think it could be up to $4 million or less, right? What do we have in our account?
I believe $4 million is high. I can get the information. I don't have it in front of me either, but that seems high.
So is there any plan, I guess, now knowing that you're going to be getting a windfall of some money, is there any planning in the budget for those dollars right now?
Actually, I'll address that expectation on what the revenue return is going to be. I believe the collaborative indicated in the healthcare discussion that after claims were paid out, they expected the return to be about $2.5 million.
And what fiscal year will you realize that $2.5 million?
End of fiscal 22, in all likelihood.
Okay. So right now, you're anticipating that will be some kind of a windfall in what, the 23 budget?
It'll help support our expenditure needs going into the 23 budget.
Okay. And I'm all done with this. I just kind of have a point of clarification. I wanted to talk about the revenue budget at some point. When will the public have an opportunity to talk about the revenue budget, Mr. President?
We can only speak about what is on the agenda. Any additional questions?
Wait, Mr. President, the revenue budget is not on the agenda, but it's part of the budget. When will I have an opportunity to talk about some specific questions concerning the revenue budget?
We can only speak about what is on the agenda.
So you don't have the revenue budget on any agenda. That's my point. And it's a budget document that was released by the administration.
Okay. Any additional questions, sir?
Yes. When will I have an opportunity to speak on the revenue budget?
Not at this time. We can only speak about what is posted on the Secretary of State's website.
Right. Is it posted for tomorrow? Is it posted for tomorrow, sir?
It is not. It is not.
Well, then you're telling me I can't speak on a revenue budget. Is that what you're telling me? I can't speak on it.
I am telling you that we can only speak on what is posted. And if there's not an item that says revenue budget, then we cannot bring it forward.
I mean, can I ask some of my questions now to the administration?
Nope. We are going to move on. Thank you very much, sir. Are there any other members of the public that would like to speak about the employee benefits? Caller ending in 8487, you can unmute. Caller with the phone number ending 8487, you can unmute.
Yes, good evening. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
My name is Roger Duran. A lot of the questions that I was going to ask were just asked by Mr. Cushman, so I'll forego that. What I want to ask is the first thing, when I was reviewing the budget, I was trying to ascertain how much are we paying this year for prescription drug costs. Can you answer that question for me? I didn't see it broken out as a line item.
It's not. It's calculated in with the health insurance.
So how much is it?
I don't know the breakout between pharmacy and health insurance and direct care.
Well, you see, that's a problem. And let me tell you why. I've been over this for quite a few years. And I want to point this out to Mr. Schaefer because he just mentioned Mr. Avedisian. Mr. Avedisian gave this out, I'm going to say about 6, 7, 8 years ago. I was at the budget when he gave it out or extended it to employees. He budgeted for $1 million. I asked Mr. Avedisian at the time, can I see the actuarial study? None was done. Zero. There was no investigation, how much this was going to cost. And the last time I checked, the beginning of this year, I did a Freedom of Information request, and I have to commend the mayor, the new mayor Picozzi. It was a fight to get this over the years from past administrations, because I was always told the document doesn't exist, which was a fallacy. So Mayor Picozzi, the first thing I did in his office this year in January, and I commend him for it, I made the request. It was over $4 million. So we have something that was put into the budget, given away without any study whatsoever, and it went up 400% in less than 8 years. So, by the way, so let me just make that point. And I think going forward, I would appreciate if that particular line item was broken out, because our actuarial from the healthcare came in a few years ago, and the question was asked, and I think it was late Councilman Solomon who asked the question, can you give me an idea of any other city, town, that the actuarial, and I think they were out of Albany, New York, any other city or town that has a state? He said it's unheard of, this prescription cost. So I just wanted to get that on the record. I hope that $4 million is broken out in next year's budget, that we'll find out what it is. But I was going to ask the question, and we keep on hearing Cranston tonight is the gold standard. Does Cranston give out that benefit?
I believe they do, Mr. Durant.
Well, that's news, as I say, to me, because that was never noted before anyplace else, a prescription drug, unless it was implemented recently in the last year or two, because it wasn't from what the actuarial told us.
My chief of staff.
But let's get beyond that point.
My chief
again,
of staff,
I don't think, and this Mr. is not, Durant, this Mr. is not, Durant, not.
Mr. Durant, my
I'm
my
sorry, chief, I had very difficult time hearing you.
I'm sorry. My chief of staff was, before this job, she was the personnel director in Cranston, and she's sitting over here, and she's the one that gave me the information that Cranston does have it.
Okay, well, it must be something new, because they said they didn't, but I appreciate that, Mayor.
Okay.
But my question is also, as I say, and I'm not here to knock Cranston, but I keep on hearing this is the gold standard. I do remember, and I'm a little surprised, when I was testifying before the Pension Review Commission that covered health care and pensions up the State House, I think it was 2013, and Mayor Fung was on the podium, part of the participants, and I have to commend him. He attended every meeting.
Again, Mr. Durant, well, he had mentioned please keep it. This, Mr. Durant, please keep it to the employees' benefit budget. We understand the history that you're trying to show, but you're talking 2013.
Yeah,
we're in 2021.
I understand.
We need to discuss this budget. So please ask your questions on this specific budget.
Oh, I appreciate that. But again, Cranston's been made the gold standard here tonight. I didn't do that. That was the budget director. But having said that, where I'm a little confused, and I'm not going to ask what Mr. Cushman did. He did a very good job of discussing various points. But one of the questions was asked by, I think it's Mrs. Walsh who called in, who said, we do not give out lifetime health care in the city of Warwick. So I would ask the personnel director, why don't you give us a little idea? As let's say a policeman retires today, 20 years on the force, could you walk me through what health care benefits he and his partner get? And I'm including Medicare supplement, as well as what does they get for Blue Cross Blue Shield?
I believe I want to give you a general answer. The general answer, everything would be specific to an individual. So we'll do one general answer on this. But again, we want to ask specific line items that are in the budget today.
Well, this has to do, excuse me, Council President, this has to do with retiree health care. And it was just mentioned the particular line item, and I don't have access to that. Unfortunately, we're not there at City Hall tonight, so I can't get a budget document. But that was just mentioned, we pay close to $10.5 million of retiree health care. So it is regarding budget process going forward.
Yes, as I said, and they're going to answer. I'm just prefacing by they're going to give you a general answer as you asked a very specific one person. You know, a bunch of things could change.
Okay, that's fine.
Director?
Retiree gets retiree health insurance for individual or family plan. And then when they turn 65, get Plan 65, which is subsidized by the city.
they get Plan 65 by the city. They also get Medicare, correct?
I'm sorry, I'm misquoting. Plan 65 is sorry, I'm getting confused by some of the plans. When they're Medicare eligible, they get Plan 65, which subsidizes the government benefit.
So they get Plan 65, husband and wife get that, as well as they get a Medicare supplement. Is that correct? Excuse me. They get a Blue Cross Blue Shield supplement. Is that correct?
I'm not sure they get a Blue Cross Blue Shield supplement.
Can you check on that? Because I'm quite sure they do.
Okay. Yes, I can.
No, I mean, you can give me the answer right now, because somebody must know the answer to that question.
No.
And the only reason I'm asking this, you answered to Mrs. Walsh that we don't give lifetime health care. And this has been a debate that's gone on back and forth here in the city, that we do give out lifetime health care. And that includes Medicare plus a Blue Cross Blue Shield supplement. So I just want to clarify that.
Any other questions? They'll get you that information. Any other questions?
I'll wait for that question before I ask my next one, because it's very important.
I understand that, but if you have any additional questions, they're looking into that. They may not be able to provide it at this time. So if you have any additional questions.
Well, why couldn't they provide it this time? That's a basic question.
They do. I'll answer the best I can. They do get a supplement.
They're correct. So they get lifetime health care.
They're forced
to. I don't want to belabor the point. I just want to get on record. We do give out lifetime health care in the city of Warwick. And the reason I know this, Mayor Avedisian touted a few years ago that under his contract, and I think it was alluded to tonight, that going forward, this is like 2 to 3 years ago, it's only the employee. That was the big concession made by the unions, the police and the municipal a few years ago, that it's only the employee that's going forward is going to get it, not husband and wife. But we are giving out lifetime health care, and that's why we have $11 million. So let me make one other point, because I know we want to get into pensions in a minute. I have to agree with what Mr. Cushman said, because reading over the budget documents, it mentioned that we should be putting aside, and it was either be $36 million a year or $38 million a year to make our bogey this year. And we're actually putting away about 11. So about, I don't know, 20, 22, $24 million short. I really have difficulty comprehending how putting aside $250,000 is going to make a heck of a difference. That's point number one. My second point is, and I thought that Councilman Ricks brought up some very good points, but I know we've been through this at budget hearings before. Our maximum tax increase is $8 million a year. And we're passing all these, we're looking for new schools. We get $6.5 million for new vehicles. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. Is what you're telling us, if we have to start funding all these obligations, are we looking at maximum tax increases as far as the eye can see? That's what it appears like to me, unless we start making some tough decisions. And my very last point on this, again, I'm not going to pick on Cranston, but why don't we look at Westerly, that has basically 90% of their pensions funded? Their tax rate is one of the lowest in the state. Why don't we look at that as the gold standard instead of picking out Providence and the like? Because I think we're actually wasting our time. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other members of the public that would like to speak on the employee benefits?
Hi, I have a couple quick questions.
Go ahead, sir.
I know we've had this conversation several times in the past, and I've been offline for a couple of minutes. But am I to assume, as we have projected in the past, that as of this date, as of today, there are $0 in the fund which distributes money to pay the health care? Is that correct?
Yes.
$0, correct? So, I mean, typically in the private sector, our healthcare fund acts kind of like a pension where employees contribute to that fund. That fund gets invested into an investment vehicle, which grows, in which to pay the costs associated with the employee's healthcare overhead. But in Warwick, we're not doing that. We're at the pay-as-you-go, correct?
Correct.
So, in other words, I've seen projections that our unfunded healthcare, there's been different projections over the past couple of years, anywhere from $350 million to $450 million that we presently owe based upon moving forward what our healthcare costs will be. Is that not accurate?
That's the figure we've been talking about, yes.
So, in other words, what we're basically saying is the next generation will be born with a bill of, you know, depending on the economy, $350, $450 million plus of an unfunded liability, of which at this point there is $0 in the coffers to pay for those funds. So that cost will be directly placed upon the next generation. That's pretty accurate, right? So that cost will come out of the next generations of automobile taxes, property taxes, business taxes, and it'll come out of that, right? Correct?
Well, I mean, this is one of the reasons that we're proposing to initiate this, but there seems to be some discouragement by the public as to whether we should even do that. So that seems to be a contradiction in your responses. But the other thing that I talked about is we don't know what the funding stream for retiree health insurance will be going forward over the next 50 years.
So would it be reasonable to assume that healthcare costs are not going to go down in the future?
No, I think it's reasonable to assume that it's possible that the federal government may expand Medicare eligibility, which would reduce the liability.
But that's an assumption which does not affect what our unfunded liabilities are as of this date, correct?
No, I don't believe that's correct.
So what you're saying is, based on a hypothetical situation that the government may fund unfunded liabilities, you're projecting that our costs could go down. And what I'm saying is, that's a hypothetical situation, but if we were to remove that from the equation and we look at our costs today, we look at our fixed costs today as what our unfunded liabilities are, based on the past history of healthcare costs typically, they just don't decrease, they increase. So I would think that it would be reasonable to assume that based upon history and fact, that healthcare costs will continue to increase. What you're saying is, based upon a hypothetical, if the government comes in and if the government provides some assistance, there's a possibility that our healthcare costs could go down. And even if you would assume that that is correct, the residents of the city of Warwick and the next generation still has a $400, $450 million bill that they're responsible for, that there's not one penny in the account. So that's what's problematic to me, because historically in the private sector, healthcare funds are managed in the identical way that a pension fund is managed. People contribute to it. That money goes into an investment vehicle. Those monies grow, and those monies go to offset the cost of the healthcare that is provided. But we haven't done that in the city of Warwick. And right now it's a catastrophic situation that we don't have any substantive fixes, right? There's no cure for what is growing in the background, and every year it keeps growing. So I think it's important that the residents know that as of this date, we don't have a fix for that. We cannot support specific data as to how we're going to go about to alleviate those costs, to alleviate the burden moving forward on this generation, on our elderly, that are taxpayers, and on the next generation. So that's a real problem for the fiscal stability of the city of Warwick. The second thing, the point I wanted to make is in terms of employee benefits is, you know, we have the situation of raises that impact all employee benefits. Our raises impact everything. They impact longevity. They impact everything, pensions, everything about the overall cost of the city of Warwick. And what we've heard historically when it comes to employee benefits, that our employees, we hear the word deserve these raises, right? And now we're hearing that we've just seen that on the school department side where we have raises coming up. I'm hearing, but I haven't seen the actual documents, that on the non-union side of our employees, we're going to have raises. And I guess my question to the mayor and to his staff is, in a catastrophic year that the country has had, that the whole world has had, the whole world economy has had, where basically everybody in private practice has taken an enormous hit, and most of our local businesses are ailing, and some aspects are out of business and never coming back. What we find is that the only aspect of the economy that hasn't taken a hit is state and municipal workers. They haven't lost a penny, nothing. The only ones that haven't been impacted by the pandemic. And now we're hearing that we're going to give out raises. We're going to give out raises to those who haven't lost a penny, but all of those people who are, if you look at the Warwick Beacon, we had 6 pages of foreclosures. All of these individuals that are taxpayers and trying to provide this community as best they can, and to raise their children, to keep us in this close-knit Warwick community, they've all been hit, right? They've all been hit. No one's coming to their aid. They've all been hit. And now we're going to give out raises. And I think that is obnoxious. And it sends a message, right, to the taxpayers of Warwick of really who is of importance in this community. It's not the taxpayer. It's the municipal employees. It's our government employees. They haven't taken any hit. I would like to know from the administration, who's taken a hit? Right? Has anyone lost a day's pay that is employed by the city of Warwick? I know we had some layoffs and we're going to bring them back. That's fine. But really, in reality, nobody's lost a dime. And we're contemplating raises, which escalates the cost of healthcare, longevity, pensions, and all of those people have been afflicted by COVID, that have lost their revenue stream. They're going to have to pay for the increased revenue stream that has to be provided to pay the employees who haven't lost a penny. And I would like someone to speak about that cognitively, to tell me how we will be able to fiscally responsibly manage that. And in closing, what I would say that, you know, in the beginning of the presentation and throughout it, the finance director has spoken about other municipalities and how other municipalities have operated their budgets and has made comparisons with costs, overruns, and so forth as comparative to the city of Warwick. And I would suggest this, which, you know, someone taught me a long time ago, that to attempt to be able to justify poor fiscal behavior by citing examples of worse fiscal behavior really sends a message. I mean, you're trying to state to the taxpayer that Warwick is in really good shape because this other community is in worse shape. And as far as I'm concerned, that's really insultive to the taxpayer. And thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir. Any more questions from members of the public on employee benefits? Hearing none, we'll move to fixed costs.
Fixed costs are, there's a 60%, approximately 60% decrease in the proposed fixed cost budget, and that results from a substantial reduction in the city's unemployment insurance liability.
You just let us know what page that is on?
64.
Okay. Any questions from members of the council on fixed costs? Councilman Lattiser.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. I have a question for legal counsel, if I may.
Legal counsel is not here, Councilman Lattiser.
No, our legal counsel, sorry, Attorney Conley. So the question that I have, and I'm sure it was an oversight because it certainly was admittedly an oversight on my part. I did not pick up on it until it was just mentioned earlier. But in our budget documents, particularly the general fund portion of our budget, on page 59, 60, 61, and 62 is the revenue budget, which is pertinent to all these other things that we've spoken about. Because without the revenue, we can't pay the bills. And as I say, I'm sure it was an oversight. Admittedly, on my part, I'll take the hit that I did not pick up on it, not specifically being on the document for this evening. Being that it is in our package that was delivered to us, can the revenue portion of the budget be discussed this evening?
So the notice, the OMA notice, the public notice for the hearing, does not identify the revenue as a topic of discussion for this evening. Because it's not identified as a topic for discussion, the council cannot address it tonight.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Any questions from members of the council on fixed costs line item? Any questions from members of the public on the fixed cost budget? Any members from the public like to speak about the fixed costs? Hearing none, we'll move to the Treasury Department.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you, Director.
16. In page 9 in the supplement.